Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Oh, Luke, you are good. It's a Luke and Pete show. I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
It's almost the hottest day of the year, and you're listening to two hot boys talk about some seriously hot topics. And Luke, I think, has been to Hot Topic, the American kinky goth store for hipsters, and he's wearing what can only be described as a Popeye the Sailor Man hat.
Captain's hat. Yeah, I got
Captain's
it when I went to the Norfolk Broads. Thought I should wear one of these when I'm on the old, when I'm on the steering wheel.
Did you actually?
It.
You look like the late 90s Kazaa Napster porn star Captain Stabbing. You look like that man.
I have no idea who that is. Like, when you just
man,
said those random words one after the other,
horrible,
I have no idea where you're
just
going.
Just a horrible, in the late 90s and the early noughties, where people would just download like random little clips of pornography. And I don't hate to start the show like this. This is how I always start the show.
Start
I'm a filth monster.
Before, yeah.
Exactly. We're not talking about fishers in bums or anything.
Yeah. Well,
Captain Stabbing. I'm sure he's fishing a few in his time. But he is, I don't really know what his vibe was. I don't really know what his thing. He always seemed to be on a boat, and it's a disgusting name to have. But you look like that man, a man of advancing years, who runs some kind of pornographic enterprise that I remember from the 90s. Awful, awful
yeah,
stuff.
I don't do that.
No.
But it's a good captain's hat. It's solid.
Yeah, solid.
Cost me like a pound, I think, off of the internet.
You got
it fits
off
my
the
head
internet.
Perfectly. It fits my head perfectly. Like, normally you can't buy hats up that fit me, but this fits my head perfectly. So,
you did buy it for a time away. You did buy it for a time away. You
yeah,
bought
I told
it on
you,
the
I bought
internet.
It for when we went on the Norfolk Broads.
Was that allowed? Your partner that you have access to that shat me with that, was she?
I don't think she particularly likes me wearing it around the house. I think she thinks it looks ridiculous, but I've only just popped it on for the show. But can I just say to our listeners, I mean, as Pete, you've already referenced, it's very hot today. And I'm recording from home because you've been on holiday, so we had to record today. This is the day before, so this is Sunday.
Well, we were recording last week, weren't we? But you'd neglected to charge your MacBook, which meant our recording time was a little later. So this recording...
That's not how I remember it. But anyway, the point being that the window's open because it's so hot. So if people can hear, like, I don't know, people walking past outside or the occasional noisy motorbike going past, I apologise for that. I understand sound quality and podcast is important.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to, you know, overheat, so you need to bear that in mind. I'm a man of a certain age, of a certain BMI. You need to bear that in mind.
I'm surprised you've got any I left or B. No, M. I picked two of them that were incorrect, and then the third one. I'm surprised you got any mass left because you went on a fucking great big walk yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about your car boot sale, Sojourn, this morning because you're up with the sparrows. You're up at the crack of a sparrow's fart, as my mate's dad used to say.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I went on a big walk yesterday. It was a friend of mine's birthday, and he's got a... and me and a few of my friends like to do little celebrations for each other for birthdays, but he's got a heavily pregnant wife at the moment, so he can't really go far or do much. So we had to keep it refined to within one day in London.
Right.
And so we went for a big long walk around mostly central London and West London, visiting a load of different musical landmarks that the guys had researched themselves. So actually, like, weirdly enough, I know West London's seen as a bit of a kind of cultural desert these days, and it's not really fashionable, it's full of posh people. More on that later. Because we've got an email about you, Peter. Anyway, back in the day, it's incredible how central and how west, like, big musicians were residing, were doing their thing, and it was kind of doable, right? So for them, back in the 60s, say, back in the 60s and 70s, because London was such a different place. So, for example, there was a band called... Have you heard of a band called the Walker Brothers?
I think I may have put them on a... Are they sort of a recent band?
So it's massive in the 60s, and they were, like, a really big kind of, like... I don't know, like... So basically, in the 60s, when all these British bands came over to the US, the British invasion, they were like a US pop band that went the other way and became quite big in Britain for a bit. Anyway, Scott Walker went on to do some other stuff. That's not the point.
I know Scott Walker. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So the point is, they came across to London. They were from California, I think, so they had no idea what London was all about. This is just an example I'm giving to the listeners as to why it's interesting, I think. It's just like, I don't know what year it was, I'm going to guess, probably late 60s. All of them get sent over by the record label to stay in London. They sort out their digs and stuff. They're all staying in a split level apartment in Onslow Gardens, which is now Oligarchs Row in Chelsea. Right, and it was £5 a month at the time, according to the report. It was £5 a month. And we went there to see what it was like. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like, Jimi Hendrix used to live on Hanover Street, which is, I think, off of Bond Street. You know, there's loads. So so we walked around central West London. Anyway, it was obviously hellishly hot yesterday as well. But I managed to rack up 43,000 steps.
Right, okay.
That's, my feet are in pieces this morning.
That seems like a lot. And you're a walker, you're a runner, you're a a street beater, so to speak.
I can move when I have to.
You can move when you have to. And that seems like an astonishing amount of steps. What are we talking like calorie-wise? What does that kind of see you?
So I think I burned in total across the day yesterday, according to the old Garmin, which I would recommend. I know some people always say, other stuff's available. Look, I'd recommend the Garmin. The Garmin Vivo Active is a great bit of kit. That's what I use. It told me over the course of the day yesterday, all in from midnight to midnight, I think I ended up burning like 5,200 calories or something.
That's wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. And that's kind of like... what would be normal, probably.
So when you sort of look at how many calories you burn every day, and if you are eating less than that, that means you're losing weight, presumably.
Correct. So calorie deficit is essentially the only way you lose weight. So all these different diets and all these different things you do, it just comes down to whether you're in a calorie deficit
vinegar,
or not.
Vinegar. Drinking the vinegar.
Yeah. Get the apple cider vinegar down, mate. That's the only cheat that really world-leading expert nutritionists know of. The only treat is a shot of apple cider vinegar a couple times a day.
You sound a bit down, Luke. Did you have a tipple last night?
I had a couple of drinks. I'm not down. I'm not down. I'm really tired. I'm really actually quite hot. But I'm fine. Look, if you want me to bring the energy, I will. Tell me about the car boot sale. Tell me about the diving helmet. Because this is what the people want to know about.
You look like a sad Popeye, that's all. I'm getting the vibe. You're wearing a sailor's hat and you just sound a bit down, like you've lost some of your passengers or something. You're still on deck.
I can imagine Popeye's a very irresponsible sea captain. I'll be totally honest. He's always going off getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
I don't think, to be honest, if I'm getting ready for a voyage on a boat, if I find out the captain's got a nemesis, I probably don't want to get on the boat because I'm going to get kind of drawn into it.
I'm going to get drawn into this. Yeah, when you're at sea, the only friends you've got are the people on deck, and if your main captain guy is trying to fend off the attentions of Pluto, who else has he got as an ally? A woman with literal poles for arms, a baby, and a man who wants to eat hamburgers all day. Unbelievable.
I'm involved in this. Oh, what the quite big fat pasty like shit version of Jack Black. I'm definitely dying that. I'll probably be the first one to go. So I'm not going anywhere near Popeye.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
Tell me about your car boot sale.
Car boot sale. Got up, did what I did last time, went to the Dunton car boot sale. Big fucking city. It's like Glastonbury. I sent you a video. It's massive. Absolutely massive it is.
But you know Glastonbury, I found out the other day, it's got 100 stages.
That's ridiculous. They must be counting anything as a stage, though, surely.
It's also it becomes the fourth biggest conurbation in the West Country every time it's on, apparently.
Okay,
anyway, carry
right.
on.
I see.
How many people? Because I'm just wondering, you are prone to hyperbole on this. How many cars were actually there in your estimation?
You know, I can't... Basically, there was big, long rows of car booty stuff, and the rows went on for ages, but there were about 30 rows all in. It's a massive fucking field. Absolutely huge.
Was it better than Glastonbury?
For me, yes.
Much better.
Because nobody's selling old iMacs at Glastonbury, are they?
No, it's true, actually.
I went over listening to... I promised myself, I said, you know what I haven't listened to for ages? You're the sort of person who goes back and retrospectively listens to classic albums. This isn't a classic album, but, you know, comparatively,
to you,
I guess
sure.
people... Yeah, exactly. My first band I ever watched live, Manson's Attack of the Grey Lantern.
Oh, yeah, people love that record.
They do love that record, and I read some unsavory things about that band recently that... won't really go into because I can't remember them, to be honest. And that is how you should approach these stories.
Oh, no, it's not a libel reason, guys. It's just Pete can't remember.
He can't remember. So, I'd stick 2 feet on him if I could. I can't remember a bloody thing. Or if there were no unsavoury things, I'm sure it's fine. But let's face it, most bands, I think, in this day and age, are probably fucking shitting themselves about the things they've done in the past. I listened to Attack of the Grey Lantern on the way in, and I was surprised how fucking pedestrian it all was. I was really surprised how very off the peg.
So was it quite one note?
It just sounded like, when I sort of sat, it just sounded a bit Stone Rosie. It just sounded a bit kind of like if Landfill Indie existed back in the 90s, Landfill Britpop. It sounded a bit like that. And all that interested me in them is that they wore a bit of eyeliner and they extended their songs out to 7 minutes, which really did not need to happen. So yeah, I was a big fan of Manson and continued to be so throughout the 90s, but listening back to that, I was very surprised at how the sort of music I wouldn't usually listen to. I'm like, yeah, I don't like this as much.
So I don't know the record that well. I haven't listened to it for a long time. I remember the big songs off it. I know it came out around 96, probably 96, 97.
Tax Loss, Wide Open Space, Stripper Vicar, and then I think on the next one, Being a Girl was very good.
Yeah, but so Wide Open Space was the big single. Tax Loss was a single where they went and did that famous video in Liverpool Street Station, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, so I kind of remember a bit about them. What I find about that whole Britpop era is there are the bands that have aged well are probably the ones you don't necessarily expect. So. Mm. For me, and this is just a personal opinion, obviously, I'm not kind of music critic or whatever, but for me, excuse me, the ones that have aged the best are the standout ones are Supergrass. Mm. They've aged really well. Their music still sounds really good. Super Furry Animals, their stuff sounds amazing still. And wouldn't really class this as Britpop, but everyone was obsessed with them in the Britpop era. Beta Band, their stuff sounds amazing now. To me, Beta Band are one of the best British bands ever. The other stuff, a lot of it is very kind of... very kind of pedestrian, as you say. And a great example of that would be a bit later on, just around 2001. I feel like there's a really key kind of crossover movement in music, in, I suppose, in Britain, but in the US as well. But contextually, it's in Britain. Yeah. 2001, in February, at the Astoria, Strokes play their very first London gig. So their first UK gig is at the Wedgwood Rooms in Portsmouth, but their first London gig is the Astoria. On the bill... are also My Vitriol and You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead, who are headlining.
My Vitriol. Right. Yeah,
My Vitriol, I think My Vitriol are the really key cornerstone of the point I'm trying to make here, which is that My Vitriol were massively courted. They got a massive record deal for a huge amount of money. They made a record called Fine Lines with Always Your Way as the lead single. It's
banger.
Quite good stuff. But then what happened was they were just a victim of circumstance. The Strokes put this record out, which completely changed music. Everyone decided that they actually now loved something that was completely different, and that set the benchmark for the rest of what followed. And My Vitriol were just left behind.
Yeah.
And it's through no fault of their own. So I think sometimes different styles of music could just go out of fashion instantly because people get obsessed with something, and that's what happened with the Strokes. So maybe it's not Manson's fault, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly My Vitriol's fault for having such a handsome lead singer. I don't think you can really...
He was and is a beautiful man.
Unbelievably good-looking. Yeah. Just too distracting, I think.
Sorry,
Ricky, go on.
No, you go on. Fucking hell, you started it.
All right, fine. All right. Well, Joe, I was just saying that, like, I was just saying that where Manson would wear eyeliner, I criticise people like Youngblood, you know, the
yeah, but he's just the world's most thick, boring bloke. Do you know what I mean? That's the problem with him. He's not interesting, is he? It's really so surface level, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I think I was sucked in with Manson, though. Was Manson my, you know, 1998's Youngblood? I don't know. I just don't know, Luke.
I think that's harsh.
Okay. All right.
I also think that that Manson, all of them looked exactly like Delays, and Delays were obviously later, and for me, a lot better. But that's a different argument. Anyway, how was the car? How was the car boot sale?
The car boot sale was excellent. I did my usual thing where I got way too excited. I'd woke up way too early, like, you know, 5:45, because I was just so excited about going the car boot. I'd had about 5 hours sleep, and then I drove over. I had a couple of coffees, felt a bit sick and overwhelmed halfway through, and then sort of managed to sort of rally, had a burger.
What a morning!
And a bit of sun and a weird bit of sunburn at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I've got a bit of sunburn already, and it's not even 9 o'clock. And I bought a massive fucking diving helmet and a an old telly from Russia.
Right.
I think the diving helmet was 35, and the telly. Oh my god! I actually looked on eBay. I saw the little model number. I was like, I'll type that in to eBay. And obviously, this version was boxed on eBay. The thing on eBay was like 85, 90 quid. He wanted it, and this guy sold it to me for 5 quid. I was like, yes, a bargain, bargain hunt with Doddleson at 7 yeah, o'clock in nice. The morning. Wonderful.
But you're red instead of brown, like David Dickinson. But Peter, the thing, I think that our listeners will share this situation, share this kind of opinion.
Yeah.
So I like, for me, it's a great fit for your personal brand that you go to car boot sales. I think that works. I think what the problem is that you are clearly someone who is not at all comfortable with haggling over prices.
Yeah. Yep, yep,
so
yep.
How do you overcome that?
Oh, by paying over the odds every time.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah, what are you doing that for?
I love car boots, but I am ill at ease with talking to the big boys who have tattoos.
The bigger boys, yeah. Big You've boys got tattoos, who, though. Get them out.
Yeah, but bigger boys have got bigger, you know, bigger messages on their tattoos. bigger metaphors, messages, a lot of eagles. A lot of
mum and dad.
A lot of mum and dad. Yeah. A lot of drawings of pit bulls and stuff. Yeah, bigger boys. Yeah.
So the bigger boys mean that you won't say, do you mind taking a couple of quid less for this, even though...
Yeah.
Because I know British people don't like haggling. Mm. I'm not that person, but British people don't like haggling. But the one place you can do it in Britain is there.
Yes. Yeah. They expect it. They encourage it. And yet, I don't give them the satisfaction of the... They probably get a lot out of having a little bit of a squabble over some cash, don't they?
I think they prefer the money. So they're very happy to see you, mate. I don't give them what they want. You do. You give them fucking double what they want.
Daddy Warbucks is here. Look, as trips go, I also bought some T-shirts because I have become of fathering age, I think. very much buying T-shirts in bulk at the car boot. Beautiful.
It's great stuff. It's a fantastic way to spend a Sunday morning. And the thing it is now, we're recording this as early as feasible because of the weather, but you've already feel like you've probably packed quite a lot into the day. Was it actually really warm at 6 this morning as well?
Yeah, it was insanely warm. It was absolutely
That's insane. Crazy, isn't it?
I was going to go and clean... There's a... at the garage near my house, and this is very domestic and very boring, but I hope you enjoy...
I think that shit might have already said.
Me buying T-shirts.
With Popeye's
the
captain.
At the garage around the corner, they've got this machine where it's basically a pressure washer, a big box, and you can do your own car wash. And I don't like other people washing my car. I feel like I'm being waited on. And it's kind of like...
Psychologically, a very interesting man you are. The profile of you psychologically is so interesting. Carry on.
It's weird. That's wrong with that. So I like to clean my own car with this pressure washer, but this massive sinkhole's opened up underneath the bit where the pressure washer is. Imagine if I'd driven into that with my little Fiat. Unbelievable.
Tell us more about that.
It's just a big fucking hole, Luke. And they've like
how big?
Literally as big as the pressure washer kind of little...
Are they doing anything about it? What's going on?
Yeah, well, there's part... I don't know. How do you sort of fix a sinkhole? I don't know. I'd throw a load of sand down there, I guess. But, shocking.
I don't think that's
shocking.
How you fix it.
I think you fix it by throwing a bit of sand down there, Lukey.
Right, who's got some
there.
Sand?
Get it down there, mate.
How can you possibly think this is not an interesting conversation. It's a sinkhole. You've seen a sinkhole.
Yeah, but it's not like it wasn't like a massive sinkhole that takes down a house. It was just a little sinkhole where something
that's how they start, isn't it?
Into a hole.
From little acorns.
Wow. It's just stunning stuff.
Listen, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. So bear with us 1 second. We'll be back in just a little bit after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello, it's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. Joined by Luke Moore. Hope you enjoyed those advertorials. Lukey Moore, what do you want to talk about in the second half? I know we've got emails and stuff, but do you want to have a little chat
I like the idea of just dropping an advert in there in the middle of the conversation, seeing if the listeners noticed.
Yeah.
But I actually think our responsibility is ultimately to our advertisers. They would appreciate that because they'll get more people listening to the ads because the people listening won't know the ads because I've just pulled it out of the bag and chucked it in there as quickly as possible.
Right, okay. Yeah, fair. I think
so. Our numbers are going to be better because of that.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I think I think the advertisers, that's definitely what they want, chat about pressure washers and car boots. I mean, I think more the ABC One demographic are just going to be absolutely champing at the bit to grab a slice of that hot chat pie.
Well, I think it's the Luke and Pete Show does well commercially because we can talk with absolutely no authority on
everything
subject.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, you know, people got the arsehole about 2 months ago because that Piers Morgan advert, which we have no control over, by the way, but as I said at the time, look at it this way. Piers Morgan, whoever runs his business, runs his stuff, has given us money that we can then reinvest into our company to make great podcasts while also slagging off Piers Morgan. It's great. Like, it works well. Yeah. It's very subversive.
I think technically we can opt out, but if we're not told what's happening, we can't really opt out. and I don't think Piers Morgan has really got to that.
But I don't want to opt out. I don't care. I want to opt out of, some stuff, but I don't want to opt out of the fact that Piers Morgan is just a fucking knob.
Yeah.
It's not a principle to live your life by, is it?
No.
If you don't like it, don't listen to it. He's a dickhead. I'm happy to say that on the show. He's a knob.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it. But what I do want you to do is I want you to listen to what I'm about to say about him, because the run-up to this conversation was that, but the whole point was going to be, did you see him standing holding a pig talking on the telly?
I did. What was that about exactly? What was that about then?
I'm going to put myself in the mind of the production meeting.
Mm.
I've been in many production meetings, as I'm sure you have, for different reasons. I think what they've gone for, because his intro was about the fact that Boris Johnson is a greased piglet and keeps getting out of situations.
Okay, right.
And so the intro, he did a load of puns. Is he going to save his bacon? Blah, blah, blah. But I think what he's misunderstood is that that's not a well-known enough phrase.
No, I agree. I completely
People
agree.
Don't really say that, particularly these days. Oh, I've never heard in a casual conversation someone say to me, oh, how did so-and-so get on?
Mm.
And they got out of it, and I said, oh, yeah, he's like a greased piglet. It doesn't happen. So he's he's over-egged the pudding, and no one really knows what the pudding is anyway.
Mm.
And so as a result, he's just standing on telly holding a little piglet, bless the little piglet. By the way, the only saving grace, of course, is what, Pete?
What do you mean? He gets to eat that pig at the end of the day? I don't know.
No one's watching his show, is there? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, it speaks to our advert.
Listen, trust me, I know this. You get a lot more freedom to execute your ideas when there's no audience.
Certainly, yeah. Well, never mind.
Did he do it on purpose to go viral, do you think? For precisely this reason now?
What, do you reckon he's thrashing around in the mud, so to speak, like a pig? Just trying to sort of... Yeah, maybe he's trying to find angles to get a bit of... anything kind of absurd gets you clicks, I suppose, these days. And half the time... And half the stupid and ridiculous things that happen on UK television are designed in this way. And I'm fairly certain there'll be one person who works on the show who writes these kind of, like, you know, orchestrates these little kind of happenstances, and that's how they go viral, and that's how you get noise, and that's how you become characters, and that's how you ultimately make money. So we are constantly being played, and it's very sad. Bring back Guy Gormer.
Oh yeah, that was that. What, doesn't that feel like a really quaint time now?
It feels like the '50s.
Yeah. But on that note there about generating kind of controversy for the sake of it, and I might be in the minority here, but I certainly think in podcasting, that doesn't really work, and nor should it work. And I have conversations all the time. I was at an agency talking to them about some of their clients perhaps doing some new shows last week, and they were talking about different ways of marketing and doing all this kind of the stuff you're talking about, but not in such a kind of egregious way. And I was of the opinion then, and I'm of the opinion now, you've got to get the show right, because people aren't going to stick around for more than like 10 minutes if it's not good.
Yeah.
No matter how they're funneled into it.
I hear a lot of like adverts for shows where it's like, hello, person I wouldn't necessarily have heard of, but probably presumably has a bit of profile. Please,
and
like, well, just, you know, not even any kind of background music, just sounds like they've been recorded on their phone. Hello there, this is so-and-so. I'm going to do a show about something, and I'm going to be talking to some great guests, and it's just like, it's the same idea, isn't it, over and over again. It's just, I'm going to talk to some great guests, and after 10 episodes we're really going to gas out my friends and my black book, and we're going to have to stress out finding, you know, whoever's on the fucking promo trail, and no one's really creating anything, and then the show will just stop, and you know, it's the end of the season, and it won't happen again. So it's the same idea over and over again, and you know, we're obviously trying to find new ways of doing podcasts, because that's kind of our bread and butter, that's our business. And we've obviously kind of thought, well, these kind of basic ideas don't really work anymore, I don't think. We have to be sort of a bit more creative. But good God, they're just keeping on going, aren't they?
And I think we've been in podcasts for so long. I've been since 2007, you've been since 2005. So I think you won't like me saying this, Peter, so just forgive me. We are able to speak with a little bit of authority on it, because we've been doing it for so long, and because we've got so many episodes under our belt. And it is a bit different for us, I think, because we're not known outside of... Well, I'm saying not known outside of this space, I suppose. But the point I was going to make... I wanted to say that preamble so it doesn't come across as hypocritical, because I genuinely do think it's different. I feel like there must be some kind of cabal somewhere contained of like 15 comedians and their agents, and they just rotate. Like, I don't know the guy personally. I'm sure he's nice. I've never met him. Have I met him? I don't think I have. I don't know him anyway. But like, I just don't understand how anyone, other than a really cynical attempt just to blatantly make money because there's some kind of launch sponsor involved, someone like Josh Widdicombe, he released another podcast series like about 2 weeks ago. He's already done about four, and every single one of them is him and one other comedian talking about something in the same way. Is it kind of odd? And here's what I would say is, and I listen to them because it's part of my job, and I think this is so unimaginative and so lazy. And I spoke to someone who I'm not going to name, who's got a really big profile in broadcasting, I've known for a long time, and I said to them, what's the deal here? I was having lunch with him. I said, what's the deal here? What do you think about this? Is it me just being a cynical old prick, or, you know, what's going on? And they said to me, well, obviously it's shit. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, because look at how much work they're doing. They've got no time to put any effort into all the different things because they're doing so many things. It's almost a bit like a touring juggling act.
Yeah.
They go to a different place, they do the juggling, everyone goes, well, that's good, he's good at juggling, you have some money. And they go to the next place. There's no thought into the act. It's the same thing over and over again with no time put into it. But for some reason, and I'm not bitter about this because we do very well and we're very, very happy doing what we're doing, but I think the public deserve better. But for some reason, the public don't think they deserve better, and the shows are already popular. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon,
well,
I think.
It was kind of like the same kind of, it's like that, you sort of see the same off the curb, Avalon acts just kind of like doing in the round. And there was a show advertise. Who's that? I forget her name. American stand-up blonde.
Catherine Ryan.
Catherine Ryan is doing a TV show where, good God, she was. The advert was, you know, watch my new show where if you've ever wanted to go backstage at a comedy gig, I was thinking,
oh, yeah, is that? Is her?
Off! Fuck yeah. Off, do I want to do that? Yeah. It's fucking yeah. miserable.
Tragic.
A load of fucking blokes backstage complaining with, you know, a yeah. couple of women chucked in
the
there.
Other
as well.
Comedians like, doing better
yeah,
than them.
It's just, good God. And maybe it's changed a little bit because there's a bit more work to go around. But goodness me, you know, the rare occasion that I've sort of been up to Edinburgh and sort of hung out with kids, all they fucking do is whine about the fucking job.
Can I just say, in Catherine's defence, Peter, that she, I believe she's Canadian, not American.
Sorry,
like
apologies.
That,
so. Was that all you had to say about me slating the concept?
I agree
the
with everything else you said, but I think she deserves to be to have her nationality.
But again, you're right, though, these people are just spread too thin. It's why, like, everyone's breakout tour is amazing when it comes to introducing themselves to the populace, and then, like, the next year, they don't really have a show because they've not had time to fucking write, and all of her experiences have been, you know, backstage at Mock the Week. They've not had a chance to have a yeah. domestic life to talk about anything that's going to be in any way yeah, applicable
exactly.
to anyone's
and
life.
Look, you and I do this show. We chat because we're pals, and that's just how it's been. That's how it's evolved organically. And it's been going for 5 years or whatever. I think it's different. I mean, people may say it's hypocritical, and it's not different. I think it is, and I also think Stack are pushing podcasting boundaries in a big way, like Boom and Jackie and Eureka. They're all really great, like, imaginative, interesting shows, and there's plenty that you do as well, which I'm sure you would chuck into the ring as well. For me, from a point of view of someone who really likes the industry, I just think it's lazy. I think it's detrimental. I think if you're just going to use it as a vehicle to do a comedy routine that's exactly the same every week, and put a mic in front of you, in front of a computer rather than in front of an audience, I think it's a shame. I think it kind of limits the industry. I also think that...
And that's Captain Stabbing saying that.
That's me saying that with the captain's hat on. I'm the podcast captain for the day. I'm really tired, so I'm a bit grouchy, so I'm like moaning about stuff. Yeah. But just to touch on what you said, it's an extension of the comedy industry, isn't it? Because stand-up comedy... Basically, if you want to be a stand-up comedian now and you can't get a big break, you're probably not good enough because there's so many opportunities, right, that didn't exist before.
Yeah, but it's very crowded as well. It's, you know, the opportunities go up, but then the people having a crack at it go up as well. I don't know. It's difficult.
That's a fair point. But you know what I mean? Comedy's a massive phenomenon in a way that it never used to be.
A certain kind of comedy is. I mean, nobody spends any money on sketch or scripted really anymore.
No, exactly. That's the point.
You know, it's just kind of Dave, you know, cheap Dave shows, isn't it?
Exactly. But do you know what? Another good example I'll give you, which is, I think, is related. It's like, take Taskmaster, for example, yeah? Taskmaster's a really good idea for a show, right? There's loads of good series of it. I like it. I think it's nowhere near as good as it could be. And the reason for that is they will only put comedians on it.
Yeah.
So comedians... who only really... I mean, they're notorious for only really caring about themselves, right? It's all about them. They're up on stage.
You're very anti-comedian.
It's true, right?
Most of them, yeah. But some of them hate themselves more than they like themselves, so it's fine.
I think all of them, that's the case. But Taskmaster would be amazing if you had a broader kind of pull. I think, for example, and he's not going to thank me for saying this, and I've never had a conversation with him about it, I think Rick Edwards would be brilliant on Taskmaster because he's clever and he's naturally very charismatic, and he would solve the task in, like, a completely different way, and it'd be really interesting. Whereas they will only use comedians, and it's no coincidence the best people who've ever been on Taskmaster are people who are all genuinely, like, people who are genuinely eccentric, like Nish Kumar, Bob Mortimer, Sally Phillips, those types. They're the best people.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, who cares? But it's mad. I also get really pissed off when people get pissed before they do podcast recordings. I think that's so disrespectful to the industry, but that's probably just me.
Yeah, well, we've canned a few episodes. Not of this, not of us, but outside people. I've canned a couple of episodes. We're not doing this. Cannot be drunk is not funny.
I think I've seen people, I'm not going to name them, I've seen people who will stand up on a stage at an event or at a conference talking about how it's now time for podcasting to be taken seriously and considered alongside, like, your Netflix and all your modern new media kind of platforms, and also get pissed doing their podcast recordings.
Yeah.
So, do you think people turn up for a day fucking shooting pissed? Not Oliver Reed. You know, back in the day it was different. But generally speaking.
Yeah, young people don't drink anyway. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, before we Rory's not here again, so we're going to. I know we're running over time, but I just want to squeeze a quick email in, Peter, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Is it the one I haven't got at me?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, we've got so many. How many emails have you got? We've got 12 pages of emails, and you pick out the one that's having a pop.
What's your point?
I don't have one really. That's kind of about MO, isn't it?
I'm not letting the listenership down.
No, you're right.
Excuse me. Hi, Luke and Pete. I hope you're both well. Well, we'll see if you hope that, based on the content of the email. I just have a bit to say about Pete's comments on a recent episode. Pete obviously has some sort of complex about class. You should never assume or judge. Grow up, Pete, for God's sake. Don't make any sweeping generalisations about what you don't know. I come from a very long line of aristocratic, somewhat inbred, going back centuries to the Heian period of Japan, families. But I've never felt privileged or entitled, and that's all down to my upbringing. Yes, I know many people in my social circles who are twats, but what can you do? There are twats everywhere, whether you are upper class or working class. Darling, just let it go. I like you regardless. Kind regards, Etsy, not the online shop.
Yeah, all right.
So posh one having a go at you. Start the class war.
You
get to the barricades quickly.
A big posh sod with plums in your mouth, and the plums have mutated, and they've got beaks.
So the one reason I want to do this email is because it makes you feel really awkward. So just do this bit, and then afterwards I'll make a point.
All right, okay. I will sometimes say things on the podcast that have embellished how I actually feel, or it's actually how my gut is feeling, but I possibly shouldn't say these things out loud.
Bottle job.
In summary, good on you. Thanks for listening. I have clearly got a chip on my shoulder. I've spoken about it before. I don't personally think as a white now middle class man, I've been seriously passed over for anything that would upset me for not having. So I don't need to worry about that. But I think there are certain things we need to think about. Certainly in my corner of the world, which is media, people with a certain amount of money get on, where people with no money,
this is going brilliant,
don't get on.
Carry on. This is exactly what I wanted.
I'm going to put my fucking helmet on. What do you want? I don't know. Like, look, you have such a more ordered mind than me. You know, and the listeners know.
Just pointing to my captain's hat.
I am an emotionally led person who will say things they don't necessarily mean, or they haven't really thought about, but in their soul they probably feel more strongly than anything. But they can't really sort of.
Let me step in here.
What?
Etsy, listen. You presumably like listening to this show.
Right.
A big part of listening to this show
is putting up
is
with me.
You get some great stuff out of Pete, right? You can't, if you don't want the rough, you can't have the smooth.
Exactly.
Okay. Sometimes the absolutely ridiculous crosshairs of chaos that Pete fires out from randomly every week, twice every week, will occasionally fix themselves on you. Right. You can't complain about it. You just got to. Listen, it's not about avoiding the Pete thunderstorms.
It's about learning to
dance in Pete's pissy rain. And we all get it. But I do think, on a slightly more serious note, the central tenet of Etsy's email is, you know,
don't be prejudiced.
There are twats everywhere.
I totally agree.
You have a responsibility, while you should, I think, pursue a general philosophy that everyone should be treated equally, everyone should be egalitarian as much as possible, wherever they're from, whatever their background, and we should dismantle this ridiculous class thing that goes on in Britain still now, which Pete and I both would have been a victim of.
But some twats can't pay the rent.
Yeah, if
that's
we're just speaking
saying.
About class. But on the other hand, you have a responsibility in a personal level to take people as you find them. She's absolutely right. You know, I've got plenty of mates. Some of my closest friends are from very, very well-to-do, upper middle class, upper class backgrounds. And you've got to take them as you find them.
I hate them. I hate them anyway.
Like, Pete's really close with Boris Johnson, for example.
Exactly, yeah. We get on.
They get on fine. There's ITV4 are doing a... Pete and Boris are doing a canal journey show on Party before.
We are, yeah. It's so cheap to make.
Boris, you've messed up the lock again. I can't believe it.
I'm so sorry. I pushed the dog in the water. I'm so sorry.
Boris, we're never going to make it to Hereford on time now because we've got to take the dog to the vet because you drowned it.
I'm spilled out of the flower cordial all down myself.
Boris, stop looking at that woman.
Boris, it's not a woman, it's a mermaid. Boris, get out of the water, mate. Boris!
Stop galloping through that flower-lined meadow after those women. They don't want to talk to you. Yeah. Anyway, so Etsy, we really appreciate your email.
Thank you,
I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, I enjoyed bubbling through. It did make me uncomfortable, but I stand by pretty much everything I say. I am uncompromising at the end. Yay.
Pete, I reckon you're one of the only people I know who claims consistently to stand by everything you say, but also claims in the next breath to consistently never remember what they say.
That's fair.
Sure it's probably fine.
Yeah. Shall we leave the final word of the show to this gentleman?
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
That is chilling. That is absolutely chilling. Shout out to Jordan for not crying, though.
It was four and a half seconds in which John Peterson didn't have a cry because he'd eaten too much meat.
I loved it when he gets interviewed and she goes to him, are you still doing your all beef diet? And he goes, yes. She goes, what's it like? And he just looks at her in the eye and goes, I wouldn't recommend it. So, well, why are you doing it then? Why are you doing it? Yeah.
That clip has become a bit of a meme remixed at will to everything, into everything. Because I don't know why he did it. It was in the middle of some kind of anti-trans rant or some fucking nonsense that fucking fascist fucking says. But he's just looking down the camera, delivering it in the same way that Tim Curry delivers a line in Command and Conquer Red Alert back in the day about going into space. It just looks like you're playing a strategy game and a little man's popped up and he said this.
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels.
It's not like the end of the level in an RTS where you've just failed and
why is it the people who most want
respect
culture / race / kind of, you know, social war via the internet are consistently the people who most look like they will die in the first battle. Like, and Jordan Peterson, he looks like you can snap him like a twig.
Yeah.
He's dead straight away. Alex Jones, the crazy guy in the US, he'll have a heart attack in 5 seconds.
Yeah, fair.
That Tom Harwood guy would literally just be screaming, not the face, not the face, not the face. Darren Grimes would fall over.
You know what he'd be doing. You know what he'd be up to, mate.
You know,
what are you doing behind that tree, Grimesy?
Grimesy would be having a lovely old time, a proper danger wank. You know, it's a mad world in which we live. And hopefully Luke and Peter can provide a bit of respite from that for just laughing at it.
Yeah.
Get yourself back to your car boot sale. Right. I'm going to go myself back to bed because I am absolutely knackered. My calves and feet are in pieces after that 42,000 stepper yesterday.
Oh. Oh, were you up at 6 o'clock driving to a car boot in Dunton? Don't think so, mate. Talk to me when that's the case.
Yeah, I exercised so much yesterday. I did that thing which people listening will probably recognise, where your body is like burning still. You can't calm it down.
Oh, you what is that about? You sort of like you just fit. Your legs are just popping off.
Yeah, so I had to watch an episode and a half of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares before I could get to sleep. Pete, what we should also say to the listeners is that Rory's not here. You're editing, and I'm going to do a synopsis. So if there's any mistakes, then it's not Rory's fault. It's our fault.
It's not. Did you nearly burp the word Rory there?
I was adjusting my hat.
All right.
And then one of my hairs got caught in the hat, and it was really painful.
Rory.
That was about as the sound of me in pain. But the show must go on, darling.
Lovely. Smashing stuff. Well, I've got a holy triforce of horrible stories that happened while I was away in Cornwall to give you
on Thursday's show.
So we'll see you then for more Luke and Peter. If you want to get to the show in the meantime, I'm having to go with me for being a little classist twat. Hello at Luke and Peter. Show.com is the way to do that. Ta-ta!
See you later.
Up yours, woke moralists.
Luke Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.